Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. We've greeted a couple of us have met already for lunch. For everyone who joined us now, welcome to you. We are from a number of congregations today, from Venterskroon and from the Bill congregation and from Oos and from Werevier, and all of the other visitors and guests that are with us today. Thank you for being with us. We are thankful that today we can think back of the day or to the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to Prof. Rantua Letota. Prof. Rantua is going to lead us in our worship service today. I think we are quite often so inclined to only have a reasonable experience of our faith, and to be busy with the faculties of the mind that we don't focus so much on experiencing. And today is one of those days where we focus on experiencing the unity that we have as believers from different backgrounds. So there will be moments that each of us will not be able to understand the language, but we will be able to understand what is going on. And in that, the privilege of knowing that we are one in our Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to say that beforehand. Yes, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to meet you like this in a worship service, that you call us together as your body, as the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you call us from all of the people of this world, that your reign, the kingdom, stretches over all earthly kingdoms, that it crosses over the boundaries of culture and language and nationalities, and that you bring us together today as a family, the family of our Heavenly Father. We ask that you bless us in this worship service and that you give us the ability to honor your name and to glorify you as our Heavenly Father. We pray this to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord together by singing from Psalm 145. Inam we hear so work and yearnage, will ever after ever in all things. If one is here, but all the crown of our scrap will ever work and all for my return. We are going to sing in this Afrikaans, Sotho and English.
Van kracht, van kracht. Marsat. Ons vra nou, ons dominee om ons te lei in die geloofsbelijdenis. Ek sien net een. Ok. Ons sing nou 'n tweede lied, jammer, Klomoya o Halalela, van versie 1 tot versie 5. Kom, Heilige Gees. Staan, kom ons loof weer die Here. We sing hymn 156, O God, our help in ages past.
O God, our help in sufficient is thy arm, O Lord, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, for every save their frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless is the same. 8,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening born, so test the words that ends the night before the rising sun. Turn like an ever rolling stream, there's all its sons away. They fly forgotten as they dream. I said,
let's confess our faith together. Ek glo in God die Vader, die Almagtige, die Skepper van hemel en aarde, en in Jesus Christus, sy enige gebore Seun, ons Here, wat ontvang is van die Heilige Gees, gebore is uit die Maagd Maria, wat gelei het onder Pontius Pilatus, gekruisig is, gesterf het, en begrawe is. Hy het die lyding van die hel ondergaan. Hy het op die derde dag weer opgestaan uit die dood, opgevaar na die hemel, en sit aan die regterhand van God, die Almagtige Vader, waarvandaan hy sal kom, om die lewendes en die dooies te oordeel. Ek glo in die Heilige Gees, ek glo aan 'n heilige, algemene, Christelike kerk, die gemeenskap van die heiliges, die vergewing van sondes, die opstanding van die liggaam en 'n ewige lewe. Amen.
Let us close our eyes and pray together. Modimo ntata rona, Papa rona kabakala Jesu Kriste morena, re rata ho tlotlisa thapameng ya letsatsi la kajeno, obane o le Modimo ya renang ya busang ntata rona bohle kabakala Kriste morena Jesu. Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege of being guided by your word and spirit to avail ourselves in this worship service. We acknowledge that our desire and intention is to be far away from you. We glorify you, we worship you, we thank you, Lord, for the inspiring work of the Holy Spirit who led us here today, who gathered us here today to worship you, to serve you with hearts filled with joy, gladness, and happiness. It is our prayer this afternoon that you unite us, Lord. That you every day make us one in fellowship and in worshiping you, in caring for one another, and in reaching out to the lost who are still far away from you. Guide us throughout this service, that your name may be glorified. And help us each and every day to become smaller and smaller, whilst you, Lord, is always exalted and lifted high. For only you are worthy to be praised. We pray for your blessing over each and every one of us here today. Do not pass us by, Lord. But may we experience the wonderful presence of your Holy Spirit. Bless also the word proclamation through Jesus Christ, the living word. We pray all this in his precious name. Amen. Beloved, God speaks with us today through the book of Genesis, chapter 11, as well as Acts, chapter 2. We are going to read the first 9 verses of Genesis, chapter 11, and the first 13 verses of Acts, chapter 2. Let's listen together. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they'll not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Now we turn to Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one yet their own language being spoken, utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" There is a word of God. May the Lord bless it. Beloved, we can ask ourselves a few questions from the scripture parts we just presented. Is it wrong if we as people intend to all come together and unite and work towards greater unification? Is it wrong if we intend to build the city we live in and to be known as Potchefstromers or people of Tlokwe? Why would God be against this seemingly beautiful idea of people who strived for unification? People who said they don't want to scatter and go to different places. They want to stay where they are, united and together. No division. We're going to try to answer these questions by looking at five different aspects. The sin of rebellion. The sin of intending to become renowned. We are also going to look at how God responds to this, how God reversed the situation, and the renewal of all this in Acts chapter 2. If we look at the rebellious aspect, the text makes clear that the world had one language and one common speech. So one can imagine what wonderful cooperation there was, or there could have taken place in the midst of these people. Speaking the same language, easier to understand each other, agreeing in everything they do, having the same vision and goal. We must also keep in mind that these people were very ambitious. They wanted to satisfy their own pride, building a city for themselves and a tower that could reach heaven. In that way, everyone will know about them, not to be scattered in any way. We can see that there is unity in effort. There is concentration on the design. They knew exactly how the city was supposed to be, and they knew exactly what kind of material they needed for that. And the builders were ready. They were already involved in this. And they had in mind, if we do this, nothing but nothing will be able to stop us. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 7, God gave clear instructions to mankind through Noah. And the instructions are the same instructions he gave when he created Adam and Eve. Multiply and fill the earth. And in chapter 9, verse 1, we read the same words. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In verse 7, populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. God's instructions were clear, straightforward. The people were not to hunker down in one spot. They were to spread out over the whole earth. The Tower of Babel should never have been there. There should never have been a gathering together of the earth's population in one place. The people had done what seemed convenient instead of what was commanded. And how easily are we also not that ignorant? Looking quickly at what is so convenient, what is suitable in my eyes in this specific situation under these circumstances, irrespective of what the Word of God says about that. We so easily tend to think that we can make the Word of God to fit within our concepts, our understanding of things. This is how the situation is. We live in this era, so this is how we can apply the Word in this context. We at times think of ourselves wiser than God. We intend so easily, sometimes knowingly or unknowingly, to be against the commands of God, which are many times so clear and so straightforward. Multiply and fill. Go out. Don't stay at one place. When we look at the sin of becoming renowned, the chief aim or the goal of the Babylonians had shifted from glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. It shifted to becoming renowned, building a name for themselves. The Tower of Babel would actually have been what one can call a ziggurat. In other words, a stair-stepped pyramid-shaped edifice. It was a kind of a stairway to heaven, an attempt to gain by human effort what only God could give. It is only God who can give us heaven on earth. But they thought that if they could just provide themselves with enough fame and fortune, there would be heaven on earth. See the shift. My own heaven on earth instead of God's heaven on earth. And we can say, well, we are not like these people who try to build a tower, and we might never even have in mind to build such a thing like that. But how many of us try every day to make names for ourselves? We want to leave a mark behind. And we find this in many things. The clothes we wear with their labels and names, the cars we drive, the special kinds of food we eat, and so many other things where we want to be identified and known with these special things. And in whatever we do, we want people outside there to know. And sometimes it can also be through churches, where people tend to have their own churches so their own names should be built, and forget that the main aim is to stand and worship God. And as John says, may I become smaller so that God may be visible more and more. It is a challenge to us today to ask ourselves on this day of Pentecost where our focus is. And in our everyday activities, whose name are we making known? Our name or God's name? To make God's name known is only when we do what God wants us to do, not what we think we should do for Him. God gives us His clear instructions. He gave us His word. He never left us forsaken or alone. And He guides us through His word and spirit. So we do know what the Lord expects of us as His children. So what does God do when all these things are happening? We immediately see God's restraining grace. The reason you and I had not gone off the deep end into sin is not because we are morally superior to murderers and thieves and sinners outside there. But it's because of God's restraining grace. We ought to remember that when we pass prostitutes outside there, we pass a drunk outside there on the street, we should think of this Bible. And we should be reminded that if God doesn't restrain the natural bent of my heart, nothing will be impossible for me. This makes us think of the hymn Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but I see. And it's because of this amazing grace. And how did God restrain the evil of Noah's descendants? He scrambled their language. He foiled their plans and scattered them over the whole face of the earth to make sure that nothing like Babel was attempted again. What an ironic reversal of fortunes. They had wanted to make a name for themselves, and now they could not even pronounce one another's names. They'd wanted to ensure that they wouldn't be scattered over the face of the earth. But it is exactly what ended up happening. God reverses the situation. A reminder that our God is opposed to the proud and will often make the punishment of our arrogance a direct reversal of our proud intentions. If we adopt plans without consulting the Lord and His word, we should not be surprised if we find our dreams turned on their heads. We may ask ourselves a lot of questions. Why did my relationship fail? Why was my purchase a waste? And our answers may not always be chastisement for sin, but to remember of Babel, that possibility that I might have done this to make myself known and not to the glory of the Lord. God is a way of showing us when we have left Him out of the equation. He does things His way to our own good. In the tale of the tower, God's blessing is experienced as something to fear. The people seek to establish a unity apparently set against the blessing of God. And what was God's blessing? To be scattered. So they were afraid to be scattered. They were afraid of God's blessing. They wanted by all means to prevent scattering. The whole earth works to create by human effort a unity that is opposed to the intent of God's blessing. What is our intent? And do we follow? Do we listen? Do we realize when God reverses situations, steps in our lives? Sometimes we run head along to the wrong direction. And God, in many ways, makes us take a U-turn to the right direction. But do we listen? Do we humble ourselves at times to listen to God and to ask Him, like Paul, Lord, what do you want me to do? Our Lord never gave up on His children. He cares so much that He sent His only begotten Son. And that not being enough, He gives us His Holy Spirit. Martin Luther observes, in view of this scattering, we must regard it as a great blessing that on Pentecost the Holy Spirit, united by various tongues, peoples of many lands, into the one body whose head is Jesus Christ. It is very sensible an explanation of how the world began to go from a post-flood frontier inhabited by only eight people, to diversely populated planet that it is today. He is also a reminder that God knows and cares for the nations and the people of His earth by name. A wonderful foreshadowing of God's promise to one day gather people from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation into His kingdom through Jesus Christ. He spread them out so that He might bring them back. And we read in Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27, He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God. Scattering cannot be prevented. The church will experience it either as blessing or as bane. Acts 2 describes the results of the Spirit's presence as a supernatural speaking in numerous languages. From verse 9 to 11, 16 nations whose representatives in Jerusalem, yet the disciples speak in their own languages. The disciples are enabled by the Spirit to speak in these languages to symbolize a reversal of Babel, in which communication among men is restored. And in this way, the former confusion is replaced. Now we can see how the good news is proclaimed. The good news of God's salvation to the nations through their representatives assembled in Jerusalem. There is no question about the importance of unity, especially when speaking the same language. But language can create people, but also confuse people. It can construct or it can constrict a community. It involves more than speaking. It incorporates speaking and listening. The end result in Genesis 11, people could not hear or understand each other. And what do we see in Acts 2? They can now hear the word proclaimed in their own native language. When the believers were speaking, they demonstrated to the audience that they are praising God in all the languages and dialects of the world. They proved that God's revelation is not bound to one particular language, but it transcends all variations of human speech. They provided us with the evidence that the Holy Spirit is performing a miracle. Those who hear their own language or dialect are dumbfounded. They are amazed and ask emphatically, how is this possible? And this is a basic question. It's repeated twice. Hearing their native language or dialect, they became susceptible for accepting Christ and His gospel when Peter preaches His Pentecost sermon. Pentecost is a challenge to us. It flings open closed doors. It challenges us to go beyond our comfort zones. In the time of Pentecost, there were in one year three great feasts that men attended in Jerusalem. They will go for Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. The first was appointed in commemoration, that is now the Passover, of their deliverance from Egypt, and the second was held in remembrance of the giving of the law from Mount Sinai, 50 days after their departure from Egypt. Now here we can see that God was pleased that on this specific day, His Holy Spirit should be shed upon His church. Whilst people after 50 days received the law, the people of the New Testament received the gospel through the Holy Spirit. God chose that on this specific day, He should reap the first fruits of Pentecost. How wonderful that on this specific day, from all the people who gathered from all over Jerusalem in the areas around, 3,000 people were added to the church of God. How significant. Pentecost is totally significant. Without Pentecost, there wouldn't be a story in Acts. The coming of the Spirit finished the power for the Christian mission. That is the significance of the roll call of nations. Already at the beginning, the worldwide mission was symbolized in the witness in all these languages, representing all the areas of the civilized world. At this point, they were all Jews, most probably Jerusalem residents, and wouldn't return home. But symbolically, anyway, the mission has begun. We know that in the Old Testament, it was the prophets who were inspired through the Holy Spirit. But we also know the promise in the book of Jonah, of Joel, that His Holy Spirit will be upon all of us. And what a blessing for the church today, that we who received the Holy Spirit, we who stand in the service of the Lord, cannot otherwise but proclaim the word. Amos says, when the lion roars, who cannot but shiver? Who cannot but be afraid? And when God speaks through His Holy Spirit, who cannot but speak? We have a challenge to speak. We have a challenge not to keep quiet, because the Holy Spirit is in our midst. May this Pentecost change our hearts from selfishness, self-centeredness, from making names for ourselves, to become God-centeredness, Christ-centeredness, and to leave God's name, not our names. May we always be reminded that it's about Him and not ourselves. Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We praise you for this opportunity to listen your word. Pai querido, nós te rendemos graças porque é tão difícil buscar a união que temos em Cristo, dependendo somente do Espírito Santo. Mas nós te agradecemos porque, apesar das tentativas humanas que, pelo teu poder, foram fracassadas, como a Torre de Babel e outras através da história, o reino de Cristo Jesus realmente nos une. E nós estamos aqui como representantes desta realidade. So we praise you, Lord, because we are here like representatives of your kingdom that not only solve the problem of our different languages and cultures, but make us one people, your people. We praise you in Jesus' name, em nome de Jesus, o nosso Senhor. Amém.
Beloved, now it's time for our love offerings. And after that, we shall sing Psalm 18 in Afrikaans, Sesotho. And after that, we'll also sing Psalm 150. Now let's sing together, let's stand all of us and worship the Lord by singing Psalm 18, the Afrikaans and the Sesotho, and after that Psalm 150.
Amen.
Let's go into the mission field with the blessing from the Lord. Jehova, au sonolofatse me au buluke. Jehova aretilisi sefatlo sa hai huena me au hauhele. Jehova au khansisi sefatlo sa hai me au fehozo.